All right, here we are with our Pass the Prozac episode.
Oh, I see you're already in character.
You know, I can't believe that after the apes and after all that we've been through, you couldn't find a more upbeat set of comics. I mean, I'm exhausted. And this doesn't look any better. Oh, geez. What did you pick for us this time, Trenchcoat?
Well, this comic actually should have... Oh, by the way, I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. He's MC Trekkie. This is Podcast X.
Yeah, they know this now.
Okay, you know, this is the last comic in the world I would have actually expected to depress you for real, considering, like, the last comic you read for this was that manga-esque Teen Titans you hated so much. I would figure anything that was not in that style, you'd be thrilled to read.
Yeah, thanks. So, you took me from jarring manga to this jarring, creepy style, which has totally confused me. I don't understand it. The story matter's dark. The art is dark. I don't get it. Chris Claremont, I know he's a great writer, and I did enjoy a lot of this, but geez, oh man, come on.
Okay, well, I have to correct you. Chris Claremont used to be a great writer.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened to him, although, yeah, this particular comic, by the way, it's New Mutants Volume 1, Issue 37, this was written back when he was still pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't say that it was bad. I didn't say anything was wrong.
Well,
with the comic.
I'll give you that it is a Secret Wars 2 tie-in. So right off the bat, yeah, that's unforgivable, since Secret Wars 2 is the worst comic ever made.
Thanks a lot.
Well, this is not Secret Wars 2. This is New Mutants. This is the lighthearted X-book. This was, from what I could tell by the early issues, conceived as sort of Archie meets superheroes. You know, they're young, they're carefree, and here they are on the cover being, they're being brutally killed.
Yeah, a guy with blue suit and blue hair.
Well, that's the Beyonder, actually. They gave him a body after the first Secret Wars, and they figured, like, they put him in a suit and give him, like, a jerry curl.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Great. Okay, I'm a little confused with all this because isn't that the robotic character? But there's a girl inside. That's Warlock, right?
Okay, but yeah. Well, Warlock is a mutant from outer space.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why he looks like that.
But never mind.
He's one of those, as we addressed last issue, he's an immigrant from outer space because he lives here now.
Okay, all right. So not only is he a mutant, but he's also a goddamn filthy alien mutant.
If you want to call him that.
Okay, so from now on. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, he links up with the dude who's inside of him here, because, that's Warlock. The dude inside of him, that's Cypher. He doesn't have any, like, combat powers. All he can do is, like, translate, like, any language.
Oh.
Including, like, machine languages, which is often useful.
Okay.
In the comic book world. Yeah, this chick here on fire, her power is that she goes on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Magma. All right, the chickie's choking here. That's Wolfsbane. She turns into a wolf.
Okay.
Okay, this dead chick down here, this is Karma. She possesses people. The blonde chick is magic. She has, like, magic powers. And this blonde kid here, that's Cannonball. He flies around like a cannonball. And, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of new mutants in this book. Okay.
Not for long.
That's true. This chick here in the sky on the flying horse, that's Mirage, and she can, like, make people see their worst fears and shit.
Oh.
So there you go. Now you know who everybody is. Now you're all caught up.
Great.
You have no excuse not to understand any of this comic.
Did you say his name was Cannonball?
His name is Cannonball.
All right, I don't know. And the other one is Magma?
The chick on fire is Magma.
That's two horrible names. Horrible names. Magma.
You accepted Wolfsbane, but you're going to complain about Magma and Cannonball. Okay. No, wait, you know what? Fuck that. You accept a character named The Beyonder.
Well, Beyonder seems like a cool concept. I remember him from the first Secret Wars. I like the idea of an ultimate entity. I always have.
You know, he's called The Beyonder. That's stupid. Why not the In-Betweener? Why not the Betwixter? Come on, The Beyonder.
Well, I mean, I don't like Inbetweener. I do like Beyonder.
Ugh. Well, here you go. Got the first page up here.
All right, okay. If I should die. If Stan Lee presents, if I should die, and we get a lot of narrative, this is one thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, I'm looking back here at this comic. When was it? It's mid-80s?
1980... You know, I'm trying probably to squint and see 86. The little print here. 1986.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, looking at this comic, even then, okay, so that's only 20 years ago. So much narrative and so little banter. A complete, you know, you have the people, they have normal conversational exchanges. Hey, we're watching a...
That should make you happy.
I'm just noticing it.
Yeah. You really hate banter and what you call snarky witticisms and...
I think it's overused. I also think nobody thinks that fast. Nobody's got... It's like you have a little comedy writer.
Well, of course not, but their writers think that fast.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, not everybody has a writer that carry... You know, not all the superheroes have writers behind them.
Well, you know, if we had to blame anybody for this onslaught of snark, it would be Joss Whedon. And I happen to know that you actually liked Buffy.
I do. As on TV. And I don't even mind it in comics. But it's starting to be, each one of the comic writers is like, let's see how much wit we can pack into each superhero comment at one time. So every superhero has to say something witty all the time, even when they're...
You know, I'm going to go slightly off topic here.
Go ahead.
Because you, under protest, just read an issue of Young Avengers that's only been like going on for about like a year. And Young Avengers is short on snark. And yet you still didn't like it.
Because it was short on story.
Okay, you know, fair enough.
So if I should die, big bold letters, a lot of dark. We see the Avengers Mansion, but we see it in shadow. It's kind of creepy. We already know this is not going to be good for them. Talk to me a little bit about this artist. This is really kind of creeped me out. It set the tone.
Okay,
for
see
the
where
comic.
See where it says Mary Wilshire and Bill Sienkiewicz artist.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, you can pretty much ignore Mary Wilshire's name. Bill Sienkiewicz has such an overpowering style,
yeah, man,
that even when he's not doing all the art by himself, he may as well be. Because there's very little of Mary Wilshire's style, such as it may be, left once Sienkiewicz here has gotten done with her. Yeah, he has this like black, inky, splotchy, shadowy, dark style that's just, well, it's really fucking cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's sketchy and creepy. And look at this girl all stretched out and leaning forward with her breasts stretched forward, her legs akimbo.
You know, every female in this comic is underage.
Oh.
So, would you like to retract that statement, or are you going to stand by it? Because, yeah, she does...
Is her name Magma?
No, Magma...
Quick, look over here. Her name's Magna.
No,
look over here.
Magma's the chick back here with the popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's Magic. In fact, she's even younger than that. Magic actually is... You know Colossus, the dude who turns into metal?
The Russian dude?
Yeah, that's his little sister.
Is she Russian too?
She's Russian too. Oh, come on, her name's Ilyana.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she's only really like 8 years old, and like she was kidnapped by a demon, and like she stayed in his dimension for years while seconds passed in our time. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, he raped her repeatedly, I'm sure, over the years. And anyway, by the time she gets back, she's this slutty teenager.
Oh.
Yeah, Colossus is like 1 second older, and his little baby sister is suddenly this hot teenage slut.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and as you see, and I can understand why you'd be lusting after her, because she's apparently naked except for that shirt she has on.
She's wearing like a muumuu or a sheet or something. It's great.
Yeah, we got kind of a co-ed pajama party going on here.
Yeah,
with
I'm
the
all for this. Yeah, they make that point. I don't know if in this one or the next one that the X-Men are away.
But you actually read the next one?
No.
Oh.
It's just a little... There's a little...
I was about to really be shocked.
No, there's a last risk. The senior team seems away. They're working with Magneto in San Francisco.
Yes, see? Because... Look, they didn't mind telling you.
No.
Not only back in 86, telling you what was going on in other comics, but look, they even say, see X-Men issue 202.
See, now this is, we were busting on Jim Shooter before, but this is one thing. All hail Jim Shooter, because this actually, I didn't need to read all the rest of these characters.
No, you really, that's true.
You know.
Although Jim Shooter was not long for Marvel Comics after this, because this would have been during Secret Wars 2. And Secret Wars 2 is pretty much the single thing that took him down. Because it was such a big disaster.
Was that his idea?
That was his idea. The Beyonder is his character.
Oh.
The Beyonder is never, the only time the Beyonder is good, frankly, is in this particular comic.
Well, he was an autocrat, wasn't he, Jim Shooter?
Oh, yeah, he was Hitler.
So he kind of modeled it after himself.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you Jim Shooter does wish he had the Beyonder's powers. Although he did make a superhero that was based on himself and named him Starbrand.
Oh, you're kidding me. No. I mean, I was just joking.
No, like Jim Shooter's like 6 foot six or something. He's from Pittsburgh. And Ken Connell, or whatever his name is, was 6 foot six and he was from Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, yeah. He just couldn't resist like writing himself into his own superhero comic. And then, of course, John Byrne, who, of course, hated Jim Shooter,
yes,
wound up taking over the Starbrand comic once Shooter was forced out and turned Starbrand into an anti-Jim Shooter comic. It was great.
That's funny.
And also wrong.
But we also know John Byrne has other issues. So it's
John
like,
Byrne has lots of issues.
So it's like replacing Hitler with Mussolini.
Oh, they would never, well, yeah, but they would never put John Byrne in charge. Can you imagine John Byrne in charge of a company?
That would be just horrible.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I we can't get off this first page. I miss the days of heroes just hanging out like this.
Did they used to?
Yeah, well, in Claremont's X-Men and the New Mutants, they did. They would go to the mall or play baseball or watch TV like they are here.
I just can't imagine the Avengers hanging out in their pajamas.
Actually, the Avengers... you know what? These are kids, so it's okay. It's a boarding school. I mean, this is the clique. These are the cool kids.
Oh, I get it.
Because, you know, they get to go out and fight supervillains.
So where are the uncool kids? The ones with the fucked up powers? Are they in the cellar? Do they get any popcorn?
Actually, you know, it was Grant... There are no uncool kids at this point. But, yeah, Grant Morrison actually, like, opened up the school to a more general... Yeah, yeah. There eventually were uncool kids. There just aren't here. These are just the cool kids in their ritzy little school all by themselves having fun.
Sounds like they're due for a comeuppance.
They are due for a comeuppance, and boy, do they get it.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing much happens here on page two except, like, Magma pops some popcorn.
Yeah.
Which seems to be a gross overuse of her mutant power.
But she describes it for us, and that helped me because I didn't know what her powers were until this point. But she's kind of creepy. Like, this art, I have to give it to this art. At first, I really had a problem with it, and I was scared, and I didn't want to read it. It bothered me. And then I looked at it again and said, this is the perfect art for this comic.
Actually,
for
yeah.
this particular subject matter.
I would agree with that.
I have never seen art that worked so well. It disturbed me so much.
The first 17 issues of this, they had, like, I think Tom Mandrake was the artist, or somebody like him. Or he was one of the artists. Anyway, it was very conventional art. Sienkiewicz took over with issue 18, and bang, all of a sudden, it's a horror comic.
Good, got it.
I mean, it was just... because writers will write to their artists, and, you know, Claremont's tone and the stories totally changed. All of a sudden, the book got a lot darker.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you don't picture with this guy's style, you don't, like, picture hijinks.
No. The best we're going to get, the most optimistic thing, is popping popcorn. That's the nicest thing that happens.
Yeah, in fact, this is the high point of the comic as far as the happiness of the characters go. Because right away here, they're already starting to bicker. They're watching an Indian John versus John Wayne movie, and here the token Indian character is getting all offended and shit. So, here she's having, like, visions of each of the characters' ideas of what death is over their heads. She's seeing them looming.
Yeah, that was really, really creepy. I like that, you know, that it's kind of a spirit guide. But this is really, really creepy, you know, how they're going to die. And she knows it. She doesn't know it. She knows it. She's got to pretend that it's not happening. Meanwhile, she's going nutty. Gotta love crazy women.
Yeah, if only she was green.
Now, I'm liking the totem in this third panel here. I'm liking the totem that she sees here for Warlock.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because Warlock is already creepy enough. And then she sees the totem for Warlock. And yeah,
that's
way out there.
That's his father, the Magus.
Oh.
Who, see, his race, once you hit a certain age, you have to kill your father. So when Warlock hit that age, instead of killing the Magus, he fled to Earth. And, of course, shamed his father by not killing him.
Oh.
So, of course, his father had to pursue him. So that was a whole thing.
Kill me, boy!
So of course, to Warlock, his father would represent death. So
kill,
sure, that makes
kill
sense.
Me, boy! Kill me! You know what? That's really interesting.
Well, you know what? I like that because, yeah, aliens wouldn't think or behave anything like us if there really were aliens, so sure.
I'm all for that.
Like I said, this was back when Claremont still had some writing ability. I don't know what happened to this Chris Claremont, but if you look at anything he's writing nowadays, you see it's just not the same guy.
Where did the Magus come from again? Where did all that come from?
Earlier issues of the New Mutants.
And that's all Chris Claremont, all of it?
All of it.
Wow, okay, very impressive.
Yeah, he... All praise to what Chris Claremont used to be. Okay, now, this here, and this was another thing about Marvel Comics of the time, is that they really had continuity. The books would refer to each other, like, in an earlier New Mutants annual, they had gone to Asgard and shit, and the Indian chick here, whose powers are pretty weak, like, she's a Valkyrie now and shit, and here, like, you know, the goddess of the dead and shit is talking to her through the mirror. And, like, I'm fine with all this.
Yeah, it's good and creepy.
I'm surprised you didn't... I would have expected you to think this was, like, too much.
It was right on the line. But it needed to bring us up fast. See, that's his... See, here's his dilemma.
Yeah, this story only works if you tell it in one part.
Now, is it... Here's my question. How much power did this guy Shooter have? Did he basically say, I want you to bring the Beyonder back in your book, and you're going to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's what happens here, but I assume it is.
Because here's my only sense about this comic. I get the sense like I'm on a roller coaster and I'm being hauled up the mountain fast because I've got a big fall and I'm being hauled up really, really, really quickly. I would have liked to have seen this in another issue or two. One more issue.
Oh, maybe. Now see, I actually disagree with that because I think that the frantic pace of this... You know what? There's so many comics now.
Hell, right.
I can give you titles.
Okay.
Basically anything written by Brian Bendis, for example.
Okay.
I mean, okay, here's a typical issue of Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, pages 1 to 5, young Peter Parker goes into a deli and he sits down and he places an order. Pages 6 to 15, Mary Jane comes into the deli and sits down with Peter and they talk in the deli. Pages 15 to 20, Peter's sandwich arrives and he eats the sandwich. And pages 21 and 22, which are a double-page spread, a villain has busted into the deli, and it's to be continued.
Well, the villain was hungry.
You know, I am so sick of what they call this so-called decompressed storytelling. It is nice to see a comic that just is not standing still for a second. It's just moving.
Okay, I don't mind movement. I'm all for movement. But this is just... Okay, I believe in story touchstones, okay? I believe that every character should have gotten a moment, a little bit of a moment, a little bit of a nod. And for a person like me that's just coming in raw, I just basically got a sense of each character. Like, right, and bang, they're gone. And not to spoil the... spoil this for anybody.
Yeah, we've already sort of spoiled it, but, you know, I kind of like that too, the fact that death does come so suddenly and brutally for each of them in this.
The only excuse I can give it for that is from the Beyonder's perspective, they are insignificant. And that's the only
way. And he makes that clear.
That's the only way I'm going to be able to sell that to myself. And here we are. She's getting scared. She's running away. And
she has a winged horse. I forgot to tell you.
Well, she's Valkyrie, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so she went and got a winged horse.
You know, the winged horse would be cooler if he was also a unicorn, because then he could, like, gore people with the horn in his head.
Oh, man. Come on, he's a spirit animal. This is all very spiritual comic.
No, wait. Should we be accepting that the noble Indian has a spirit animal and all this? Shouldn't we be, like, condemning this or something?
Are you saying that this is racist?
I'm not sure if it is or isn't.
I mean, everything to you is racist. Come on, it's fantasy, it's mystery, it's odd, it's strange, it's perverse. Besides, we got a young chick on a big horse. Just appreciate that for a minute. A horse that's curving its body, arching toward the sky.
So
a girl who's riding bareback.
You're saying...
No saddle, no bridle.
She likes wild rides like this.
She does.
I see.
So she's headed up to the heavens to encounter her her spirit guide, who is the...
Nah, this is like, what? She's like remembering.
Yeah.
Is what this is. This is like, that's her dead grandfather or some shit. And, you know, here he is, our ways are not their ways, yada yada.
I like that he says counting coup. I haven't heard that expression since 1986.
And,
just go, shut the fuck up and don't let your enemy see how smart you are or how strong you are. Counting Coup.
Well, for all the good it's going to do her later in this comic. Really.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that usually the wise old Indian gets good advice. He doesn't say, you know.
Yeah, his advice is pretty useless here.
You're all going to die.
So far in this comic, she's seen like omens of death above all the new mutants.
Right.
The goddess of death comes to visit her.
Right.
She's seeing a vision of her dead grandfather, who's basically telling her to give up and die.
Right.
This is a good comic. I like this.
Yeah. Another great pick. Thanks.
What?
Nothing.
I'm just saying.
Just, I feel like I need my snowshoes to get through this.
Yeah, well, here Cannonball shows up, and he's like, you know,
ha! Sorry.
Cannonball's not a bad name.
Not for a 1930s character, it's not.
Okay, you know what? Batman. Think about that.
1930s
character. Batman.
Thanks for making my point. 1930s character.
No, but that's... Oh, for God's sake.
I mean, he's made it through time. It's not like somebody created Cannonball back in 1930 and all of a sudden he's still here. No. This is somebody should have known better.
Okay, you know what? Then what do you think of Roberto's name? Here we are, meanwhile, in New York, and there's Roberto, who has, like, left the team in the issue before, I guess. And his superhero name is Sunspot.
Sunspot?
Sunspot. Now, is that acceptable?
No, that's stupid. Sunspot?
Sunspot.
Huh.
You know, you didn't say a thing about Wolfsbane, but you're going to criticize Sunspot and Cannonball.
Well, Wolfsbane is just so far, it's just so poor. Look at this. Look at the honking and the beeping and the bleeping and the...
You hate sound effects.
No, this is just... I don't know. Some of the art I like... Now, here's a strange page. Some of the art I like, some of the art I don't like. If you look at the chauffeur... She's got kind of a Nagel look to her, such, you know, she's very, very angular and has very few features at all. And then if you look at the bottom panel, you see somebody that almost looks like a priest. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of characterization, tremendous amount of, look at that.
Well, because if you're an artist, you're going to put less line work on your attractive female characters.
Sure.
Than you are on like this old dude at the bottom of the page.
I get it. I'm just saying it almost looks like it's a different art, almost. Because this style and this style are completely different to me.
Ah, fuck it. Let's go to break.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. Upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts, I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
Well, here's Sunspot. He's in New York, like this big tractor thing. What is that? A steam? What is that?
It's a steam shovel.
A steam shovel. Yeah, it's like toppled over, and some guy's like trapped under it. You know, he goes to save her, him, whoever, and
good old Sunspot.
Yeah, here he is, basically failing miserably.
Well, his name is Sunspot. Fear me, I am Sunspot.
We should be very happy.
What does he do? Disrupt like radio and TV?
He channels the sun's powers to give him super strength.
Oh, I see.
But as you can see, not much.
No, he's got pussy superpowers.
Well, look, She-Hulk shows up and like saves the day anyway.
How bad is that? You have to be saved by like a chick.
Actually, I've never seen that happen. I've never seen a superhero go to save somebody, and then another superhero has to step in to save the first superhero.
Is she just walking by? She just happens to be walking by.
It's New York.
Oh, okay.
You know, just like you see celebrities every day in New York, you see superheroes every day in New York.
Yeah, I got that. As a matter of fact, they make that point in current Avengers. Well, the mayor is annoyed that the Avengers had to set up a tower in the same city where Baxter Building already is. Like, what's up with that?
Is that in 18? Because I haven't read 18 yet. That came out.
I don't know. That's all.
Or is that in the one where they just go to Detroit and they just stand there to intimidate everybody?
No. I think, as a matter of fact, this may be the annual, so let me not give anything else away. So, yeah, here's She-Hulk helping out Sunspot.
You love that he's all miserable and depressed now.
She's a glory hound. By the way, let me just tell you that I'm in love with this particular style of She-Hulk. Tall, buxom, long brown, flowing hair.
I believe
long green flowing hair.
Episode 2, you referred to her as a magnificent creature that would be yours.
Yes.
I'm going to disturb you here. You are aware that She-Hulk is a completely fictional character. Okay, moving on.
Seems more powerful than Sunspot.
Well, that is true. And, like, here's, like, an old cop, like, telling him he did fine, you know, blowing smoke up his ass. This is just adding insult to injury, because, you know, he didn't... The cop's like, hey, you did good, when... No, he didn't!
I like how the cop kind of rubs it in. It's like rubbing salt in the wound. He goes, hey, those few seconds you held it made a difference. It's kind of cruel.
You know what? That's okay, because at the end of this comic, like, at least... Sunspot's still alive, as opposed to his fellow New Mutants. So,
well, that's
like,
because
there is that.
He's hiding in New York. He's a big pussy.
You know, even the Beyonder can't be bothered with killing him.
Well, the funny thing is well, I'm not going to... Let's not ruin the ending for people.
This comic came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, but still. For those people that can find it online or, you know, go to the back of the rack, let's not ruin it. Let's read along with them.
Okay, so in case you're wondering, by the way, Magma has, like, this, like... gown, whereas the rest of the female New Mutants are in their uniforms here, and like she has like a toga looking thing.
Yeah,
she is actually from a like little society that was like the last outpost of the Roman Empire that was like in the middle of a jungle somewhere.
Oh,
and they never advanced, they just kept all the Rome shit going all these centuries.
Wow, so.
Well, I figured that might annoy you to know about, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, wouldn't, if they were based on Rome, wouldn't they die out naturally because all the old men were fucking boys and nobody was fucking women?
Well, you know, you would think that, but...
I mean, where did she come from?
Well, she is a mutant.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, I think they would, like, fuck their women out of, like, some sense of duty or some shit.
Now, wouldn't that be cool to have mutant powers back in the Roman Empire? Wouldn't that be just awesome?
Now, see, you're full of it because you won't read 1602, which is about people who have superpowers like centuries ago in a backward society.
I have no interest in going back, you know, 200 or 300 years. That's pussy time travel. I'm talking.
Well, why don't you just go back to the time of the dinosaurs then?
Because it's all about scale and all about contrast. The dinosaurs don't care that you have superpowers. It was doggy dinosaurs.
Well,
but 2,000 years ago.
Well, what about Devil Dinosaur?
What are you, non sequitur boy? I'm trying to make a point here.
And his sidekick, Moon Boy.
I'm trying to make a point here. The point is that it would be really, really cool to have superpowers 2,000 years ago. You know, the Romans thought they were all that.
Yeah, because basically you would show up and you'd be like, okay, I'm your god now.
Yeah, like that.
You know, you will obey me and worship me.
You shall have no gods before me. Yeah.
Well, this is why Superman is a great character. Because, in effect, Superman, being as powerful as he is, in the year 2006, he could just as easily say, hey, I'm Superman. All you people now exist to serve me. And the reason he is Superman is because he doesn't do that. He serves us instead.
But if we don't do, but taking Lex Luthor's position, if we don't do what Superman tells us to do, there's hell to pay. So, you know, come on. I mean, these are our laws. These are man's laws. Who is he to tell us?
Okay, see, you're indirectly referring to that Lex Luthor Man of Steel miniseries, which ended so badly I thought we agreed to forget that it was ever published.
Ah, well, maybe the Beyonder can help me, because it's still in my head. Let's keep going.
Well, here he is.
Ah, hello, Beyonder. That was a great segue, by the way.
Yeah, hey, he's showing up here because in Secret Wars 2... he, like, brainwashed or mind-controlled the New Mutants into, like, doing his bidding. And, of course, like, they get their minds back, and now he's, like, all pissed off at them.
Oh, how dare they get their minds back?
Well, yeah. They should have just stayed mindless thralls to him.
Well, then he's really not, doesn't have the ultimate power. See, this is what really bugs me. You create a character that has ultimate power.
Oh, that's nothing. There's an issue with Secret Wars 2 where the superheroes just beat the shit out of him, which should also be impossible.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that throughout this, well, I don't want to ruin it for the two people that are actually going to read it with us. The whole vibe is that he feels that everything is predestined, and everything is playing out the way it should play out, and he does not like doing what he's doing, but he's doing it.
Well, yeah, this is him, like, Secret Wars 2 was winding down by the time this came out, and yeah, the Beyonder's state of mind, it was basically insane at this point.
Okay.
In trying to understand humanity, he's gone mad.
Wow.
Yeah, which is probably... okay, you know what? Fair enough. That's probably what would happen. So, here you go. The devil chick is like the first one to step up and say, hey, you know what, Beyonder? Just, if you gotta kill somebody, kill me. So, you know, he just, with a look, he just incinerates her. But of course, you know, that's not gonna satisfy him.
Yeah, that was, I like that the magma chick is just furious. I like that. That's great. And look at the pencils. I mean, look at the lettering. It's scratched in Ileana as if they're all yelling at the same time at the top of their lungs, you know, trying to get her to stop what, you know.
And see how much nicer that is than if, say, they had done that lettering effect with, oh, I don't know, a computer.
All right, okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. You know, notice that the warlock is just the creepiest creature I've ever seen. But he does look alien.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to. So, of course, when Rob Liefeld took over New Mutants, like, I don't know, towards the end of the run of the book, which was, like, issue 80 or 90-something, like, one of the first things he did, I think, was get rid of Warlock. Because, well, Rob Liefeld can't draw. You have to be able to somewhat draw, to pull off Warlock.
Oh, that's too inside for me.
You know who Rob Liefeld is.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the guy who can't draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he sucks. Okay, Beyonder's bragging, and notice that Cannonball punches him.
Yeah, I see that.
Well, see, he's... see?
Okay.
He's good for something.
Yes, he's good for getting killed second.
Well, I don't know if he gets killed second, but Beyonder knocks him through the mansion into the swimming pool. Then, the Indian chick, being a dumbass, tries to get inside the Beyonder's mind. And she freaks out and falls off her flying horse.
This is interesting. So we start to see what's in Beyonder's mind. Now he's going insane, so we see a backwards... What's the deal with the backwards swastika?
Well, that way they can sell the comic in Germany and Austria.
Oh, that's just stupid.
Well, yes, it is.
Oh, because to me, a backward swastika is like harvest time. Because, you know, swastika...
Harvest time?
Swastika has always been used, actually, for positive...
Well, that's what Nazis say.
Yeah,
true,
actually.
So, of course, I question it.
Anyway, so we've got a hypodermic needle here, and we've got, we've got the starvation.
We've got all kinds of horrific imagery, you know, starving kids... spoon and needle, swastika, and worst of all, a hummingbird sucking nectar out of a flower to represent the horrors of nature, I guess.
That I don't understand. I guess the contrast, but that's the stupidest thing. Yeah, okay, I was going to throw out a dumb war in Iraq joke, but the hummingbird completely overwhelmed me. Stop it, release her, you're killing her. And he says,
okay,
yes.
Here, this dumb bitch. Okay, so... Yeah. This chick, having just seen what happens when you go inside the Beyonder's mind, tries to possess him. And, of course, the Beyonder, turns her own power back on her, blowing her brain out. And now she's dead. That's two. Two down. Magma's trying to kill him. Warlock's trying to kill him. And
Warlock does a nice job, by the way, and they
Warlock did do a nice job. He made himself 30 feet tall there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they did a throwaway so that people like me knew where Warlock came from. And it's even he didn't realize just how much power he had. They identify the fact that Warlock's dad killed a son, just blew a son apart. So that's cool. So he's got some kind of powers going.
And well, this is also good where Magma, and you busted on Magma's name, but look, here Magma's the one to just take her firepower and to blow fire right through him.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Because we know he's not really dead, but at least it looks like she's killed him here.
I never said her powers weren't cool, it's just a stupid name.
This is also good here. I like these panels with them standing over their dead teammates and shit. And they're all depressed and shit and oh, well, the Beyonder got better. No surprise.
And the Beyonder's now huge.
Well, he's not so much huge. I just gave him a full-page spread, which I normally don't like, but I'm okay with it here, because this is the page that lets you know they're going to die.
Yeah, they're going to get their asses kicked.
Because in the page before, they're in the little panels.
By the way, that's always
good. They're mopey. And then here the Beyonder is, full page, basically laughing at them.
That's always good. Whenever you see, eyes bright out like that, and whenever you knew Superman was pissed, you only saw the red of his eyes, shit like that. I love that. And we've got big glowing yellow eyes that that these guys are just dead.
And
here they are. Woohoo!
Oh, and this is cold-blooded. Yeah, he opens up a pit under Magma. Cannonball flies down to save her. And what happens? He closes them in the pit and crushes them.
Oh man.
This is awesome. This is just superhero massacre.
I don't know how much more of this I can take. All right, you keep going. I'll take this.
Okay, then. Here on the next page...
I can't really talk right now.
He attacks Warlock.
Well, thank you. That sounds really good.
Warlock's dead. He's dead because he's got the X's.
It's time for me to talk about this.
I suppose I should be waiting here.
Sure, I can call you back. Thank you, sir. That's great. Talk to you soon. Bye. I'm sorry.
Was that so-called important call you kept telling me you were expecting?
Don't worry about it. It's fine. Just keep going.
Okay.
I mean, they don't... people aren't interested in my personal business.
All right. And here we have Warlock's eyes are X'd out, so you know he's dead. Now, come on, what was that about?
I'm really don't feel comfortable talking about it.
Well, so we're running out of time on this one. Okay, all right. Well, you tell me when we start recording the next one. We'll have plenty of time.
Okay, I guess. Whatever.
And this is cool, because the useless dude who has almost no powers... He goes to try to revive Warlock, and there he is. He's a skeleton now, and this is just pitiful that the good Catholic werewolf is praying and begging for forgiveness from God, and he just, erases her from existence. And it's just the Indian chick left.
I like that she's crying against her horse, and... Yeah, you know, that the Beyonder recognizes that she doesn't run away.
You know, you said this was a depressing comic, but you hate teen heroes so much.
Yeah.
I get the impression you're really enjoying that, seeing all the teen heroes being brutally killed here.
I'm mixed. I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, this is a bit much.
I would have liked to have learned more about them before they were decimated.
There were 36 issues of New Mutants before this.
All right. You know what? One is plenty then.
What? Anyway. Okay, this is good because the chick knows she's going to die. And she's telling him he's wrong. And he's like, I don't care. I'm crazy. And she's like, okay, whatever, fine. You feel you need to kill me? Go ahead, kill me. And he does. He just, like, incinerates her. And they're all dead. And
here's this predestination thing again.
Feeling no guilt.
As if he says that he doesn't think he has a choice. I mean, that's a Galactus maneuver. I do.
All these cosmic guys, they get to this point. They feel everything they do is justified because they're so all-powerful.
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember 100 years ago, which series was it that Dr. Doom got his powers?
Oh, God. The Secret Wars?
I don't remember.
Or the old Kirby one where he took the Silver Surfer's power.
Don't forget, I haven't read comics in 30 years.
So how can you forget the image of Dr. Doom flying around on the Silver Surfer's surfboard?
Oh, like that.
I was going to say, is that the story you're talking about?
All I remember was, no.
Because, yeah, he had the power cosmic.
Not that he had the power cosmic, I just thought that he knew everything and couldn't handle it. I seem to remember that somehow or another Dr. Doom had
Dr. Doom
all
has
the
gotten,
power of the universe.
He's gotten just so many comeuppances over the years. Comeuppances.
Comeuppances?
Just like the New Mutants got their comeuppance in this. I mean, the Indian chick was saying towards the end, hey, maybe we were too proud.
So what issue number is this?
This is Volume 1, Issue 37.
And so how many more of these were there?
63.
All right. Nobody got their comeuppance. Don't give me that.
For the duration of this comic, and the month...
Hey, Trekkie, be depressed. Be depressed. They're all dead. They're all dead. Look over here.
Well, and the month waiting time between this comic and the next, they got their comeuppance. Well, check it out here. In the last panel, the Beyonder, like, erases all human memory and evidence of the New Mutants ever having existed. Now, if they wanted to completely reboot the book, this is when they could have done it.
Yeah.
Because that's just adding insult to injury on, like, a grand scale. Well, it's like, okay, not only are they dead, as far as anybody knows, they never existed now.
Every once in a while, you've told me that every once in a while, like, a writer will do a big F you to another writer. Like, Peter David will say F you.
Well, this would be Claremont doing an F you to himself. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
So Claremont does come back for number 38. Now.
Claremont is still back in... Yeah, he's still okay. The writer as of issue 38, yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I'm thinking if they're saying, okay, there were never any New Mutants, then I should get whatever I paid for the first 37 issues back from Marvel. Because, hey, the book never existed, and yet I gave them money for all these books. Therefore, they owe me.
Yeah.
All right, then.
That's going nowhere. And that's actually going nowhere. I mean... No, it's going nowhere. You're lucky you got this.
And that's the book.
Do we rate it? Like the old 0 to 10?
Oh, how about that? I forgot that time.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll
you'd have one ready here.
I'll give it a 6.5.
Out of 10?
6.5. Well, I mean, it's not the greatest comic book ever published, but it goes up... Well, first of all, the art's nice. But second of all, you know, it goes a long way on just how incredibly bleak they were willing to go.
Yeah. All right, you ready for this?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we're going to start with 10 and work our way down. I'm going to dock at 1 star because it's teens. I'm sorry, it's me. So now it's down to 9.
No, that doesn't work because Judas Contract would be like a 10 and that's Teen Titans.
Just this is my rating scale. I mean, I don't mess with your rating scale. Don't mess with mine. Because now we're down to 9. So now we're going to knock in another one because I already gave you the roller coaster metaphors. I thought that they took us too fast to death. Now we're down to 8. I'm going to give it, I'm going to knock it a 7. I'm going to knock it half a point because the beautiful art, which is really creepy and great, is inconsistent. And if you tell me there are two artists, now I understand. Now it's down to 7.5. And you know what?
Stop. There were two artists, though.
That's what I said, Doug.
Oh, all right.
And you know what? I'm down to 7.5 and I'm not moving. I give it a solid 7.5.
Ever given a book a higher rating than me before?
No. Something's obviously wrong.
I have to rethink my rating. Maybe this is better than I thought.
You can't rethink your rating.
No, I'm staying with 6.5. Okay. I mean,
you're working from a larger tableau than I am.
The strength of the book to me was that they had the balls to go as far as they did. Even though it's all undone the next month, it doesn't even matter. This was just cool that it's like, hey, I'm all powerful, and guess what? You're all going to die.
Right.
And they actually do die.
And another reason I'm leaving it at 7.5 is because Chris Claremont made this comic bulletproof. It's like, all right, here's Jim Shooter shooting a Beyonder bullet at this comic. It's like, okay, I dare you to make a good comic with this character, this ridiculous character. And he did.
Notice that
he made this stupid character work.
This is the only good appearance of the Beyonder ever.
In this? You mean in
no,
this?
No, ever. I'm including both Secret Wars series and all the crossover books.
You're just like insane characters.
Well, he's awesome in this, and the art helped too, because as you're seeing here again on the last page, his face is kept in shadow.
Yeah.
The whole book to keep him as an inhuman threat that can't be reasoned with.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, I liked it. I mean, it's no Next Wave, what is? But, definite step up from those Mad Mod comics.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe that's another reason why it got a 7.5. Maybe if we had just come off, I don't know, an Alan Moore comic, maybe, you know. But we've just come off Apes. We've come off our poor fans. I, you know, the hundreds of you that are out there, I want to send each one of you like a Cracker Jack prize or, I want to do something for you. I promise that if I wrest control of the comic selections from, Trenchcoat.
Yeah, because that's going
to
happen.
You'll start to see a change.
Oh, well, look, I promise that the next comic is not going to be another Bronze Age comic.
I don't even know what that means.
1970 to 1985. Oh, actually, this is not a Bronze Age comic. Hey, this is a Modern Age comic. What are you even complaining about?
I didn't say that it was old.
It's relatively new.
I said that it was dark. Anyway, okay, fans, thanks for listening. And this is MC Trekkie signing out. I'm going to go get my medication now.
I've tried to find the truth. I've even lied, but all I know is down inside I'm bleeding.
I'm superhero. Insects called the human race, lost in time and lost in space and meaning.
check it out. This is Trenchcoat Mafia here on Podcast X, and for, like, maybe the second time ever, I'm the one doing the intro. And we have a very special guest today, someone I've talked about. I believe I've even said fuck him and the bitch he slid out of. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ on the phone.
Hi, Trenchcoat Mafia. How's it going, man?
Okay. I would just like to say right up front, you suck.
Oh, come on. I've been hearing you bitch about me for 7-8 podcasts now.
And well,
I'm a fan of your podcast, but I don't get it. I don't get all the Jesus bashing. I just don't get it.
Jesus bashing. That's like saying fucking Hitler bashing.
Oh, come on.
I
turn water into wine. I give bread to the poor people. You know, I try to calm my dad's riotous ass down when he wants to smite you all. And what do I get in return? You call me Hitler?
The only reason I'm even consenting to this podcast is because as the break song, I can use King Missile's Jesus Was Cool, which is like a really funny song. Other than that, I would have nothing to do with you.
So I'm a big joke to you, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, yes, you're a big joke to me.
Where's MC Trekkie in all this? I mean, you know.
MC Trekkie is off watching a Star Trek marathon that he's watched all these episodes 50 times, but because TNT's running, or Spike TV, whatever the fuck, is running them all back to back to back to back to back, he just has to watch it in real time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I like MC Trekkie. He sounds pretty cool to me, and I don't know, man. He's kind of a doofus. He's a little misguided, but I like him. I'm not really, I can't get down into the nitty-gritty of the human, of all your human politics, okay? I really don't care who kills who. I don't care who disses who.
This is why you piss me off. You could solve all the problems of the world, and you choose not to because you just don't feel like it. You lazy son of a bitch.
Well, I'm trying to get you people to do it for yourselves.
You people! Oh, you have a problem with humans now, I see.
Well, let me...
Oh, you're an anti-human racist.
Well, take it, you know, let me just, I'll remind you that I'm omniscient, and I've read ahead a couple of these issues of Civil War, and it looks like your superheroes are doing the same thing that I do.
I don't want to hear about fucking Civil War because New Avengers Illuminati came out, which is like the beginning of it, and MC Trekkie didn't even read it. He probably doesn't even know it's out.
So even though you've got the Son of Man, and you could basically ask me for any spoiler you want up to the year 2040, you're not interested.
No, I hate spoilers anyway.
Come on, ask me. Come on. You know how Dr. Doom finally defeats Reed Richards in 2032? Come on.
Okay, go ahead.
Ask me.
Okay, how does Reed finally... I mean, head the other way around. Go ahead.
What?
Well, you're not telling me now. I said, go ahead, tell me.
Oh, you want to know?
Well, see, now you're just playing mind games with me.
Oh, shit.
And you wonder why I got issues with you.
Well,
you know what? They should have fucking pounded those nails in your fucking palms harder. I mean, you know, just the fact that you ever came down off the cross pisses me the fuck off.
Look, it's hard enough to try to jerk off with my hands the way they are. So, I mean, isn't that pain enough?
No, you know what? We don't need the second coming of Jesus.
Look. I have...
Look, you knew I was going to work that line in there. Well, you know everything I'm going to say. I don't even know why you're talking to me. This has got to be really fucking boring for you because you know everything I'm going to say.
Yeah, but then, you know, Dad has free will. Like, every once in a while, you kick in something that I don't expect.
Well, see, that's the other thing. I mean, you people are all like, okay, we have free will, but everything's predestined. Well, that's impossible because it's either one or the other. Now, which is it?
It's both.
No, that's not possible.
And I'll tell you why.
Here we go.
Okay, this is the ultimate solution to the ultimate conundrum, and let me tell you. I have been asked this over and over again. If you believe in free will, you have free will. If you don't believe in free will...
Oh, that's fucking lame. No, that's like Gladiator, the dude from, like, the Shi'ar.
Wait a minute, are you telling me that this ultimate plan that my father and I came up with is
You stole it from X-Men.
Well, I told you we can read comics ahead.
What is Chris Claremont, one of your secret agents?
Well, you should see the shit we ripped off Jack Kirby.
Well, I want to know why you took away Chris Claremont's apparently God-given writing powers.
I mean, we were bored.
You know what?
We were really bad. After he brought back the Dark Phoenix for the third time, we thought enough's enough. So we just We just snapped.
No, no. See, because you as, even though MC Trekkie refuses to even read this, you as Jesus know that the one time they did bring back Dark Phoenix in X-Men Teen Titans and Dark Phoenix teamed up with Darkseid, that was fucking awesome.
I did like that. I did like that. I was ashamed that I liked that. I read that.
Well, because of course Darkseid, if he's going to fuck anybody in the universe, he's going to bring back Dark Phoenix to fuck because she's evil, ultimate evil, and therefore she's got to be the ultimate lay.
You know, I haven't gotten laid in so long that I don't even know what the ultimate lay would be. I mean, I've tried to whip up a chick, but it doesn't work out. You know, she's standing right before me, but as soon as I start touching her or rubbing on her or any kind of, you know, trying to get my groove on, she just pops back into thin air.
Well, you know what you need to do? You need to hook up with Satan. Satan will hook you up. I mean, come on. All the hot bitches go to hell.
I haven't been down there in about 1,500 years. Last time I went down there.
You know
there.
What? Look, Jesus.
Look, the guy can't keep house.
Stop. Jesus.
He's got
Jesus,
food
let me
all over the place. Stop, you know, pizza stop. Boxes.
You know
the man's
what?
Got
I'll
his
wait.
Porn. The man's
I'll
got
wait.
His...
Well, I'm twiddling my thumbs. I'm waiting for you to fit your very rude Jesus. I want to say that.
Look, you don't want to.
Let me finish a sentence here. Now I forget what I was going to say. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, but, you know.
Oh, no, now I remember. Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's what, no, you.
Far be it for me, Jesus, to interrupt you, but go ahead.
Exactly. This feud between you and Satan has gone on long enough. I insist that you two mend fences, and you just need to join forces with him.
I've already.
He'll show you the way. He be his Padawan.
You want me, the Son of Man, to go down there.
Into yes, to H-E double toothpicks, yes.
Into his crib.
That's right, into his crib.
And be his Padawan.
Yes.
No, look. Man can't keep house. I'm telling you. Man.
You know, I'm not going to tolerate this anti-human propaganda.
Dude, he hasn't done dishes since 1250. Okay? I mean, we're talking 750 years of dishes. The man is a fucking slob. I'm not going down there. All right? He's got his porn strewn out all over the place.
Wait.
You know, the couch was sticky when I sat down. I'm like, what the fuck, Satan? What's going on with you?
Maybe you should wear pants.
You know, grab a towel. Jesus doesn't wear pants.
Jesus doesn't wear pants? You know, that's your whole problem right there. You know what? I've had enough of this nonsense. I'm hanging up on you. Click. Okay, folks, that was Jesus, and we're never going to do that again.